Well, good morning, church. His promises are true. He's always true. He always keeps his promises. I just want to welcome you this morning. Thanks for gathering online with us this Sunday morning. I have a couple announcements. Before I get to that, didn't you enjoy those grads? I can tell you, when we went around to celebrate those graduates, that was like the most fun I had had all week. I mean, it was just so much fun. So again, graduates, congratulations. We are so excited and so proud of you. A few announcements today. One is this, our food drive. We are having our food drive, and this is our last time partnering with the Mimslin, because the Mimslin is opening back up in June. And so you can drop things off today from 2 to 4, or Tuesday from 2 to 4. So please be a part of that with us. You've probably seen some videos online. You've seen that we are reopening with an outdoor service next Sunday. Get excited, the 31st. And so you come with your lawn chair or just pull up in your car and roll down the windows, and we're gonna worship together. So we're so excited. 9 o'clock on the 31st. And we'll be here online at 10:45 as usual as well. Again, just want to thank you, church, for continuing to give and be faithful to giving. There's several different ways to give. They're right here on the screen. Please continue to give. I just want to acknowledge that this is Memorial Day weekend, and this is a time that we mark as a country to remember those who gave everything, who gave it all. And so all the freedoms that we enjoy, we could not have those freedoms if it wasn't for brave men and women that went to the front lines, that served our country in the armed forces. And so what I'd like to do at this time is I'd like to have a moment of silence. And if you have somebody in your house, maybe that's a veteran, to just walk over to them and to put your hand on them. And then we're going to have a moment to pray. So let's just take a moment of silence, and then we're going to pray. Father, we thank you that we are Americans. Lord, we are Christians first, but we are Americans second. And this is the great land that we have been allowed to be in. Lord, and we just want to thank you so much for these men and women that have served this country, especially today, thinking of those who served and gave everything. So as people at home or have their hands on a veteran in their home, and as in my mind I'm thinking of veterans who gave their lives for this country, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a grateful nation to these men and women, and that when we see them, we would thank them, and we would appreciate them. And so thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be born into this country where we live. Help us to love the place where we live. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you just get them? Take them, and let's turn to Deuteronomy. Say that 5 times fast. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So turn there, 5th book in your Bible. And as you're turning there, watch this video.
You have a bar of soap. Now smell it. It smells good. What can you use this bar of soap for?
For washing and protector.
But what happens tonight if we put it in the microwave? Let's go put it in the microwave. Get your plate, get your bar of soap. Let's go to the microwave. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah. Bar of soap is, and nothing's going on.
Well, maybe nothing's going to happen, I guess. I guess nothing's happening, really. What's happening in there?
It's exploding!
Oh,
Mommy, come here,
I don't think it tastes as good, do you?
You do need a little bit more.
Oh, man, look at that.
All right.
I would.
Eli, take that back to your seat, okay?
What?
What are some things that people do when they get angry? Some ugly things
Me?
That people do.
I do.
What do people do when they get angry?
They hit You could say, I don't like you. I'm not ever going to play with you ever again.
Yeah.
And so it would hurt someone's feelings.
It does. Question. Do you think that when we get angry and we show our anger, that that ever helps the situation? Does that ever help anybody? Does that even help us? It doesn't really. Can I read you a verse? Just one verse. Here it is. It comes from the book of James, and it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of... And ultimately, the only way we can not be angry is to ask Jesus into our heart and have his Holy Spirit start to change us from the inside out. So let's go to the Lord and pray right now. Okay, guys, can you take it?
Okay, so this is just a quick 2-minute video snapshot of about a 15-minute devotion that we did this past week, microwaving a bar of soap. It has to be ivory soap, though. Ivory soap is just right. Anyway, just telling the kids, this is what happens sometimes when we blow up in our anger. It gets messy and it doesn't help anybody. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about family discipleship. And so we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And watching kids is so much fun, isn't it? It's just so much fun to watch kids. And as you watch them, you start to realize that they look like their parents. And they act like their parents. And in our house, typically, my son takes on more the personality of his mom. And at least right now, it seems like my daughter takes on my personality. And so maybe think about your family and, you know, who do you look more like? Your mom or your dad, you know? Who you act more like? It's interesting. What I'm talking about is really genetics, isn't it? And I was reading about some of this genetics this week, and our parents passed down genes to us. Just think about this for a second. We have trillions of cells in our body, okay? Trillions of cells, maybe 30 trillion cells. And inside the nucleus of each one of these cells are chromosomes, 23 pairs of chromosomes, to be exact. So 46 chromosomes. We receive 23 from dad. We receive 23 from our moms. Some of you have heard of this test called 23andMe, this DNA test. This is where it comes from, these chromosome count. And chromosomes are made up of these long strands of DNA, okay? And these long strands of DNA look like a twisted ladder. You've seen the pictures, haven't you? A twisted ladder, a double helix is what scientists call them. And if you take a section of DNA, a sequence with these different base pairs, and you put them together, you realize it's like a language. It's like a language that's written inside the nucleus of your cell. And it's like a recipe book that makes you who you are. You see, that DNA tells proteins to do stuff in you, and you have some things that you're weaker in and stronger in. You're short, you're tall, your skin is darker, light-colored, your eyes are green or blue, hazel, your personality. All this is affected by genetics, your genes that were passed on. And you know, your mom and your dad didn't even think about it. They didn't have to think about it. They just passed it on to you, just automatically. And sometimes you think about parts of yourself you don't like, and I didn't like that I got the short gene. You know, I just wish I could have gotten something else, but you know what? That's what I got. And I didn't get the tall gene. And I can't get mad at mom or dad because they didn't intentionally do it. It was just automatic. That's how genetics works. Why am I talking about this? Because today what I want to talk to you about is something that can't be passed on through genetics. I want to talk to you about something that you can pass on to your kids, even if you've adopted your kids, and there's not a genetic, biological connection between you, you can still pass it on. What am I talking about? I'm talking about passing on your faith. I'm talking about passing on who God is, how he has saved us, what it means, what it looks like to walk with him. You can pass that on to your kids, but guess what? It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. It's not like genetics. And so you have to be intentional. And in passages of scripture like this, God tells us, be intentional about training your kids up to know who God is and to love Him with all of their heart, their soul, and their strength. And so we're going to look at Deuteronomy today, chapter 6. And this is Moses' final instructions before the people of Israel go into the promised land. And this is what he says to them. Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 1, it's on your screen. It says, now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, talking about the promised land, that you may fear the Lord your God and your son and your son's son by keeping all these statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Let's skip down to verse 4. We preached on this a couple weeks ago. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your might. And these commandments that I command you today shall be on your heart. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue on in this sermon series on the family, we just ask for another Sunday for your help, that you would fill me with your Spirit so that I might communicate these truths. Lord, there's going to be a great many people as we start talking about what the Bible says, including myself, who feel just woefully inadequate. And I actually feel that we have messed up. And so we just praise you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our only hope, that while we are yet sinners, as parents, as grandparents, while we are yet sinners, you died for us, and you gave your Son for us, so that we could have new life, and so the Holy Spirit could be put into our heart, and we could walk in a new way. So we thank you for Jesus today, and in His name we pray this. Amen. Okay, you know, in all of this, I'm really just preaching to myself. As I was thinking about this message, I felt, man, I'm just talking to myself. it's been helpful for me just to think about these things as a parent. And I hope it'll be for you parents and grandparents alike. The first thing that I want to talk about, the first point here is we want to leave a godly legacy to our children. We want to leave a godly legacy to our children. It's right here in the text. Look. Verse 2, that they may fear the Lord your God, you, your sons, and your sons' sons. Isn't that interesting? You, your sons, and your sons' sons. Fearing the Lord does not mean to be afraid of Him. If we skip down to verse 5, it says, love the Lord, right? With all of your heart, soul, and strength. This means to respect Him, to stand in awe of Him. And this is a three-generation vision for the family. Do you see it? It's not just you. It's also your son, your children. It's also your children's children. Like, what I do today affects not only my children, but my grandchildren after them. So I want to be intentional. And God's saying to us, don't be short-sighted. Don't be short-sighted. So many of us, we think about the next 5 years. Or maybe we can't even get that far. The next year, just making it through this year, making it through this season. And we just want to see little Johnny make the baseball team or the soccer team. Or we just want to make sure that our teenage child will make it into a good school and they'll get the scholarships that they need and all these things. But what this text is telling us, stop thinking about the short term. Don't think about 5 years. Think about 50 years or 50 million years. We can't be short-sighted. I hope you enjoyed the message last week by Colby that he brought about church planting. I know I enjoyed that so much. And Colby, he was here actually in Page County for a little bit, and they were looking for a place to go hiking. And they said, the park's closed, where can we go hiking? And so I sent him up to Kennedy's Peak. And I said, it's a bit of a walk, but it is beautiful. And the thing I love about Kennedy's Peak is, I mean, you can see clear to the next county. I mean, I think we can see our house from there with a set of binoculars. I mean, it's amazing up there. And that's the kind of view that God wants us to have for our families. God's like, climb up and get my view. Climb up here and look. Not 5 years, not 50 years, you know, 50 million years into eternity. Your actions are affecting these kids and their kids. And for some of you, I'm talking about changing your family tree. I mean, just think about it. You look at your past and you think about your parents and you love them very much. But for some of you, your parents weren't believers. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And so we're talking about changing your family tree, that so you can break the mold. Make a new mold. You can break some strongholds from the past. And you can help your kids walk forward in this new life with Christ. And so, man, change your family tree. What an amazing opportunity we have. Charles Spurgeon, he was called the Prince of Preachers. I don't think I'll ever get that title, but the Prince of Preachers. He was a pastor in England in the 19th century. This is what he said. If we want to bring up a godly family who shall be a seed to serve God when our heads are under the clods of the valley, I love that, let us seek to train them up in the fear of God by meeting together as a family for worship. See, Spurgeon was a pastor. He's a pastor. He knew what it was like to worship with God's people, but he's like, what's more important than me gathering a bunch of people in my tabernacle to worship is for me to gather at home with my family to worship. And look at the vision that Spurgeon has. He says, to be a seed to serve God when our heads are under the clods of the valley. What is he talking about? When I'm buried and I'm gone, there's going to be my kids, my grandkids, God willing. I can't make it happen, but I can do everything I can while I'm living to point my kids to Jesus. It says in Psalm 78, Asaph writes this, he established a testimony that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. I love that. The children yet unborn. I think about my little kids who you saw in this video, Elijah and Grace, man. The children yet unborn, their kids that are yet to be around. And arise and tell them to their children so that they should do what? Set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You know, Billy Graham was meditating on, you know, a legacy. What kind of legacy should you leave for your kids? He said, it's not money. You know, don't leave money and material possessions. Don't leave that as your only legacy to give to your kids. They'll just fight over it. He said this, but rather a legacy of character and of faith. And you know what? It is, it's impossible in some ways not to leave a legacy. We are going to pass down to our kids the things that we are passionate about. But the thing, what is that? What is the thing we're passionate about that we're going to pass down to them? I hope that you want it to be joy in walking with God. I want to pass that down. I want to pass that down to you, son. I want to pass that down to you, grandchildren. The joy of walking with God when our heads are under the clods of the valley. That you can hold on to that. All right, so if we want to leave a godly legacy, if we want to leave a godly legacy, how do we do that? Man, what a big task. Whew. Here's the thing we got to do. We got to be intentional, first of all, with our own hearts, don't we? We have to be intentional with our own hearts. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago, so this is a short point. This is what God says to parents in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. I was just meditating on those words. They shall be on your heart What does it mean for God's words to be on our heart? It means that we're continually meditating. Meditating. I mean, parents, this is why we have life groups, for crying out loud. It's just some vehicle, some method for you to be continually meditating on the Word of God with other people so that it might change you for the sake of your family. You know, I just find that you cannot be intentional with your kids until you're intentional with yourself. I know that. As a pastor, I know what it feels like to be running on empty. I know what it feels like to be running on empty spiritually, and I know you parents do too. You feel like you're running on empty. You got to refill the tank. And not with worldly things, but with God, with His Word, walking with Him. You know, if you take kids to church for 18 years, that's an awesome thing. Never miss a Sunday. But if you don't let your heart be affected, it'll have little impact. But take this, combine bringing your kids to Kids Zone and to Sunday school, combine that with a parent whose heart is aflame for God, and you can have a mighty impact in the life of that child. And so this past Saturday, the men have been starting a book study, and that's the exact reason we're starting it, man, to have our hearts aflame for the sake of our families. All right, third and last point that I want to talk about today is we got to be intentional with our own hearts, but we got to be intentional with our kids, right? We talked about genetics. You just automatically pass on something of you to your children, but when it comes to spiritual things, we have to be intentional. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Man, look at that word. Diligently. Diligently. It's not automatic. They're not going to get it through osmosis. You got to teach them. You got to teach them. Teach them what? Teach them what? Man, you got to teach them the whole counsel of God. You got to teach them what He's like. You got to teach them how to think about the world that we live in and have a biblical worldview. You know, if you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses teaches them the Ten Commandments. And then Moses teaches them in chapter 6 and verse 4 what the Israelites called the Shema. "Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He's the only God. Don't worship anything else. No idols, no substitutes." Man, that's a good message for kids. No substitutes. So that means, hey, iPhones are not a substitute for God. Four-wheelers, sports, girlfriends, boyfriends, jobs, accomplishments, degrees, they're not a substitute. No idols, God. He is the only one to be worshipped. That's a great thing to teach kids. In verse 10, he goes on and says, that's not part of our passage today, but he says, teach kids about the Exodus. So back then, that was the great salvation event that God saved them out of slavery, you know, broke apart the Red Sea, brought them into the Promised Land. Teach your kids that. For us, what is the great salvation event that we need to teach our kids? Teach them about the cross. Teach them that we cannot be made right with God in our own works. And that God owes us absolutely nothing, but He's given us absolutely everything in Jesus. And that He's gone to the cross for us. He rose from the dead to prove that He was God and that He could forgive our sins. Teach Him that it's not good people that go to heaven. It's not good people that God loves. It's people that are willing to repent of their sins and turn away and trust in the finished work of Christ. Teach Him that. There's so many things. It's a big book. How do we teach him that? How do we teach him that? Send him to like a Bible college maybe? do we send him to a special program? Hopefully they're coming to Sunday school. That's a good way. It's a kid's zone. But it's not good enough. Look what it says in verse 8. It says this, talk to them. Oh my goodness, the Word of God is relevant for our lives. It says that you're supposed to talk to your children. In a day where everybody's looking at their phones and their screens, we should talk to each other. That's what it says. Talk to your children. Hey, it can be hard sometimes, can't it? That's what it says. That's how we do it. That's how we train them up. Look what it says. When do we talk to them? When we sit down in our house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise. When we sit in our house, what do we sit in our house to do? We sit in our house to eat, right? I hope you have a time that you can sit down at the table. I find that more and more families, including myself, it's harder and harder to have that time where we're all around one table. And we have to work really hard for that time. So get that time. This is a time that you can process life, isn't it? Process life and how things are going. And really help kids shape a biblical worldview as you start hearing, how are they processing things? They're listening to the news. They're hearing their friends. Are they processing it in a biblical way? It says, when you walk by the way, we don't walk everywhere we go. We take a car, but drive time is so important, isn't it? To seize that time. Some of you have a TV in your car, and it can just be so easy, just like pop a DVD in the back for little kids particularly, and just say, watch something, or for the older kids, you know, they're just on their phones back there. But just to say, hey, we're going to put on some music. We're going to listen to some worship music. We're going to have a conversation. Let's just put that stuff away just for a little while. You can bring it back out in a second. What about when we lie down? And what, especially for small kids, what an intensely important time that bedtime is. As you sit down with them and you have the chance to read a Bible story and talk with them and process things. I've found that these are the times that the biggest questions have come up for me, these real teachable moments. And it says, when you rise, breakfast time, morning time. And I think as Moses lists all these different times, what he's basically saying is, teach your kids as you go. Teach them as you go. Look for these opportunities throughout your day and seize them. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Seize the opportunities. I was at a men's event earlier this year. We took some men, and we were in Roanoke, and one of the speakers in a breakout session that we were in, he was talking about how do you talk to your kids in today's environment about sex and about gender and sexuality. How do you talk to them about all those things? And so I was all ears. You know, I was very interested to hear what this guy had to say. And so one of the biggest things he said is, yes, you need to have the talk, but you need to have talks, plural. You need to have more than one talk. Because so many of us, you know, when it comes to that sort of thing, say, I had the birds and the bees talk with my kids, and you know what? That was awkward. I'm not going to do that again. And you know what? He made a good point that day. He said, you need to leave the door open, and you need to make sure your kids know that they can come to you, and they can ask you anything, and they're going to get a straight answer. You're going to be straight with them. And so have the talks. I think this applies to all of life. Don't just have the talk. Don't just have, like, you came for the Sunday morning talk in Sunday school. Have the talks all throughout the day. Seize the opportunities. And I think about it, and I think in a day where it doesn't seem like we have enough time, that we're always too busy, we want to focus on quality time, don't we? Like, we got to get quality time with our kids. We got to get quality time with our grandkids. Hey, throw that out the window. You never know when a quality moment will come about. You have no idea. What we need to be aiming for is quantity of time with our kids. Quantity of time. And as we get the quantity of time and we have these moments set aside to be with them, you're looking for quality moments. And I was just thinking about this. They pop up, don't they? Just pop up these little moments in time, and you just got to seize them and say, God, this is a moment that you have appointed, and I will seize upon it. With young kids, I'm just thinking, I bashed my knuckles working on a treehouse the other day. And so, you know, my daughter come up and say, Daddy, can I see your boo-boos? Are your boo-boos getting better? Seize the moment. Hey, baby, isn't it amazing that God heals our bodies? He's the healer. He made us in such a way that it would heal itself, right? Seize the little moment. Isn't God awesome? Isn't he amazing? He created everything. He created us. Some of you have been turkey hunting with your kids. I know the season just ended. But can you, I mean, you can seize these moments. You ever see a gobbler strutting through a field or through the woods with all his tail feathers out? I mean, it's so easy to say, let's just talk about pride for a second. Pride's not working too well for this fella today. You could seize that moment to say this, hey, how are we different than the animals? We're obviously different. We're hunting this animal today. How are we different? Hey, here's how we're different. We're made in the image of God. We have a unique ability to know God, have a relationship with him. Seize the moment. What about bedtime? I was saying how bedtime was such a helpful time to talk. And, you know, maybe your son or your daughter says, hey, Dad, why were you arguing with Mommy earlier? Why were you arguing with Mommy? And you could just say this, we weren't arguing. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Or you could take the opportunity and say, yeah, Daddy was wrong. Daddy lost his temper. I'm really sorry. I need to apologize to Mommy. You know, some kids never get to see any parent apologize, and they never get to see forgiveness happen. So they become adults, and they've never seen reconciliation. Man, take these opportunities. You're going to see them, and when you see them, take the opportunity to teach. Mom, why do we sing in church? What's the whole deal with that singing stuff? Mom, why do they pass the communion plate, and what is all that about? You take these moments and you talk to your kids about the gospel. You talk to these kids about how we need to praise God and that we were made to praise him with all of our souls. Make room for these meaningful moments. Here's what I want to say. Make room for these meaningful moments through doing family devotions. Okay? Now, this is a kind of a controversial subject because here's why. The Bible never tells us to have a family devotion time or a family worship time. It never tells us that. But over and over again, we get all these instructions for parents to be teaching their kids God's Word at home. And so what a great way to carve out like 10 minutes in an evening, in a morning, whatever you decide, and just do a devotion. Have a little time of family worship. And so I just want to encourage you, go to Pastor David's Facebook page and watch some of his family worship time. So this is how you can break this up. And we're getting this from a book called Family Worship by Don Whitney. All this is going to be at the end of the service. You're going to see it on a slide. But he says, all you do, you take 10 minutes, you know, and you don't have to do this every day. Like, do it like one day a week, okay? And you sing, you read, and you pray. That's it. You sing a worship song. Maybe you heard it in church. Maybe it's one your family likes, and you sing it together. You get your iPhone or your computer out. You play it from YouTube, you know? And you guys just sing that together. It doesn't matter if you sing good. You just do it. You read. For younger kids, it probably needs to be a story from God's Word. You know, kids like stories, and you want to get those stories into them. Keep it short. And then after you read God's Word, you ask some questions, some open-ended questions to them. And with small kids, you might have to say things like, why do you think Jonah ran from God and didn't go to Nineveh? Why do you think that? You know, did that work out well for him? What happened to him when that happened? Does it work out well for us when we run away from God and what he wants us to do? No. For small kids, you got to do that sort of thing. For older kids, you can really ask some open-ended questions. What does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about ourselves? And then you can pray. And this is a powerful thing. Pray about what you read in God's Word, but also just ask the kids, how can you pray for them? And then this is really important. Tell them how they can pray for you. Because Mommy and Daddy are needing grace from God. And you let them know how they can pray for you. and you pray together. Sing, read, and pray. I tell you, the first time our family tried to do something like this, I was completely discouraged. I think I raised my voice at my kids. I was like, nobody's paying attention. We're never doing this again. This was terrible. And you know what I found? Everybody feels that way. It's so hard to start. And you feel so bad that it doesn't go perfectly. I mean, look at this video that I did. That was like 15 minutes. I edited it down to 2 minutes, not just so it would be short, but because there was so much complaining. And there was so many difficult moments. And that's normal. It's very normal. And don't get discouraged. You got to hang in there. It's hard for everybody. Here's another idea. So, family worship time, you know. Read some scripture, sing, pray. Here's another idea I gave you from this video, is do some fun family devotions. I was that kid growing up that no teacher knew what to do with in school. I would constantly get up from my seat, and it was finally in the second grade that I had a teacher. Her name was Miss Bornman, and Miss Bornman had boys. And she knew exactly what to do with boys, and she knew boys just like to get up and they like to do stuff. And so, man, we have found a lot of success with just doing some fun things. So there's this book, and you'll see it again at the end, by Tim Shoemaker, called The Very Best Hands-On Kinda Dangerous Devotions. And so it has like a spud gun. You can create that. You can electrocute a pickle. You know, I put the soap in the microwave and talked about anger and what it does to us. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. You can do it in 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. And, you know, I thought after I did this little video that they didn't get much of anything out of it, quite frankly. And we sat down and we prayed that night, and my son prayed, God, I get angry, and sometimes it's a mess, and I need your help. And I realized he got it. He got it. And these little illustrations, they become things that we go back to again and again. Do you remember the soap? Do you remember the toothpaste? We squirted it out of the tube and we couldn't get it back in. That's how our words are. We can't get our word. We can't take our words back. So we keep using these things as illustrations with your family. Here's another website. It startsathome.org. There's some videos just like the ones I did, and this is what I would do. I did this to start. I watched these videos of people doing it, and then I just did it. I just copied what they did. So go to itstartsathome.org and watch these videos and do this with your family. All right, here's one of the last questions I want to ask you is, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? It's hard. It's really hard. And many of us came from families that didn't do this sort of thing, these family devotions. And like I said, it's not in God's word. It's not a command to do it like this. But here's why we don't do these things. I don't think it's just because we're lazy. I really don't. I don't think it's because we're busy. I think it's because we're guilty and afraid. We feel guilty. I feel this way, like I should have done this a long time ago. You know? I feel afraid. I feel afraid that, you know, if I start doing this, that it's not going to go well. And I feel bad that my kids aren't entertained enough and that they're not paying attention. That's why we don't do it. We are guilty and ashamed. You know what we need to do? Apply the gospel of Jesus to that feeling and move forward. Apply the gospel of Jesus, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ died for all the sins of our past, both the sins of commission that we did and the sins of omission, the things we failed to do. He died for all of that in the past. And you move forward in boldness. Move forward in boldness. Let me give you some practical tips. Here, number one, lower the bar for crying out loud. Lower the bar. People hate it when I say this, but I heard this once and I love it. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly at first. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, is worth doing badly at first. Many times, people are so perfectionistic about everything has to be for perfect. Throw the perfectionistic stuff away. It keeps people from doing things for their family and for the Lord. Do it poorly at first. Just do it. It's never too late to start. It's never too late. And we always feel like, oh man, if I would have done this when my kids were young, it's never too late to start. You just come to your kids and say, hey, I feel like first you got to talk to your wife, and wife, you got to talk to your husband, you got to get on the same page. Now, if you're a single parent, you can do this. I believe in you. But you gotta say, hey, we haven't done this in the past, but we're going to try to do it. Maybe they don't like it at first. I'll tell you a good movie to watch. The movie is called Like Arrows. It's a great movie. Like Arrows. It's on Netflix. You'll see it at the end of the service. It'll come up on the screen. Watch that movie together to get started in all this. It'll change your heart. I really believe that. And it'll remind you this. It's never too late. It's never too late to start. And I just want to encourage you, man, start once a week. Start with once a month. Just start. And don't put too much pressure on yourself with it. And I just encourage dads to lead the way. As I start looking through the Bible, all these passages that say, train up your kids, it's talking to dads. Dads, train up your kids. Single moms, you can do it. And we, as a church, we want to help you. But dads, it is our job to lead the way. And that's really hard. And I just want to tell wives of husbands that are trying, hey, encourage your husband. Encourage him. Find something to encourage him about. He needs your help and your encouragement. Stand behind him in this. Encourage him. Don't pester him. But fan his manhood into flame when it comes to leading the family. Everybody, let's just take the next step. I don't know what the next step is for you, but just take the next step. I want to close with this illustration that I read about this week. Rick Husband, that's an interesting name, Rick Husband, was one of seven astronauts that left the Earth on a space shuttle, Columbia, in January 16th, 2003. The space shuttle Columbia had been taking many missions. I think this was like the 28th mission of the space shuttle. And Rick was a strong Christian. He was the captain on board that space shuttle. But more than being the captain of that space shuttle, he took the responsibility to be the captain of his family. And he said, it was quoted later, that he said, if I fail my family, he said, if I fail as an astronaut, he says, that'll mean nothing to me. He said, what matters is my family. And before he went on this mission for 18 days, he made a video for his son. And I want to read you what he said in his video. He said, hi, Matthew. I want to tell you how much I love you. And I wanted to make this tape for you so that you and I could have a devotional time every day that I'm in space. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at your devotional book, and I'm starting with the 16th of January, which is our launch date. And what I will do is read through this book and read the Bible verse also and go through the whole thing just like it was you and me sitting on the couch together. And I just want to do this because I love you so much. And I'm going to do one of these for your sister as well. On February the 1st, 2003, Rick Husband and the six other astronauts in Columbia were tragically killed as their space shuttle came all to pieces and disintegrated over the state of Texas. They were only 16 minutes from landing at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Let me ask you a question. How precious do you think those VHS tapes are? To everybody else, an old VHS tape, I've got a bunch of them in my basement. They're not very precious to me, but these tapes, how precious do you think these 18 devotionals are on these tapes? I bet they're like gold for these kids. Isn't that the kind of legacy that we want to leave for our kids? We want to leave a godly legacy. And it won't just happen. It'll take intentionality. It'll take diligence. Let's pray. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to love you well, to model loving you, and to teach our kids diligently and our grandkids. Give us grace, Lord. We need help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.